and I wanted to come on today with a OT. She graduated in June, and I know her personally. She is from a town, a little town that we live in. Our families know each other. And I also go to a stroke meeting, and I sometimes see her. So I asked her if she would come on and do a podcast with me, because new knowledge is always power. So I want to bring you on the line, Jeff.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Now, I was wondering, can you give us a little bit about your bio?
Yeah, of course. So my name is Jessica Bell, and I'm from Guilford, Maine. I'm 24 years old. I grew up in Guilford. I've never gone far from here. I went to Husson University in 2013, and I graduated in 2017 with a bachelor's degree in healthcare studies. And then I transferred to KVCC in Fairfield to get my occupational therapy assistant degree, and I just graduated in May. So I'm really excited about that.
I'm also a
basketball coach. I coach the middle school girls here in Guilford, and we won the championship this year. So my life is pretty busy, but I love it.
That's really, really inspiring. Your step-grandfather was actually on the EMT call when
I had a stroke.
He was there in the camp. Yes, he was.
Wow. Small world.
So my dad had a connection with him from being there.
Right.
And, what is the reason that you came in OT?
So originally, I wanted to be in the occupational therapy field because I loved kids, and I knew that that was a good way for me to get a job in that field and stuff like that, and helping kids. I also just really love working with people. It's a profession that allows me to meet people kind of where they are in their life and help them do what they want to do, which I really like. But yeah, and then everything that happened with my dad obviously made that passion much more personal and stuff like that. So it was a really good field for me to get into, and I found that I like all the practice areas, kids, rehab, geriatrics, you name it. I would love to work in it. So
awesome.
Really good. Yeah.
Yeah. You have a great personality to be an occupational therapist.
Thank you.
Definitely. Now, can you tell us a little bit about what happened to your dad?
Yeah, of course. So back in November of 2017, my dad had a stroke. He was 51 years old. And before his stroke, he was super healthy, very active guy. And that day that it happened, I was planning on going to his house for dinner, kind of like every Sunday we go over for dinner. And he had mentioned that he wasn't feeling well. He kind of lounged on the couch all day. Which definitely wasn't like him. He said that he woke up with a bad headache, which, you know, sometimes people do. We didn't automatically think that he was having a stroke. So
I had no warning signs either.
Yeah, it's so scary.
I know. I was cooking dinner, and my face was just tight. I could feel it, but I looked fine in the mirror.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
so he looked fine. I mean, he appeared fine. He just looked as if he didn't feel well at first. So me and my stepmom and one of my friends were there, and we kind of continued dinner while he was laying on the couch cooking and stuff. Well, when it was time to eat, when he went to get up off the couch to walk maybe 15 feet to the table, he couldn't even walk without hanging on to things. Like, his balance was completely off, and we were like, this is so weird. So he sat down and kind of started eating a little, and then I noticed his face was starting to droop, and I was like, oh my god, like, I had been in school for this and I know the signs, but you never think in that moment that that's actually what's happening. And so I was like, Dad, I really think that we need to take you to the hospital. And everyone else who was there agreed, and they're like, something is wrong. And he's like, no, I'm fine, like, I just don't feel well. And I was like, no, really. And so after about 20 minutes of begging him to go to the hospital, we went to Mayo in Dover, which I believe is where you went too, right?
I was lifelighted from there.
Yeah, so he went there, and luckily they got him right in, and within, like, I believe it was under 10 minutes, they had him in the CT scanner, because he was declining so quickly after those few minutes. It was insane, and so he was only there, I think, probably 4 hours, and they ended up transporting him to Eastern Maine Medical Center, and they were going to lifelight him, but for some reason, I don't know if it was the weather, excuse me, I don't remember, but they couldn't lifelight him. They had to take him by ambulance. So he went there, and by the next morning, so by 8 o'clock, say, the next morning, it had been about 15 hours probably, he literally couldn't move anything on his whole left side. He was having a really hard time talking, definitely eating, swallowing, all of that was impaired. So it was just, it was crazy, and unfortunately, they couldn't give him the TPA because he had woken up that morning with a headache. So it had been outside of that small window of time. So we literally were told that there was nothing the doctors could do. They had to wait, like basically for the stroke to do its thing. Yeah. And then they could treat him after. And we just had to hope for the best that he would make it through and that we could, you know, rehab him after. So it was very, very scary.
It is a scary time when you told me about him going to the table. That's what happened to me. I got 10 feet from the table, and my knees went weak. So when you said that, I was like, oh, my gosh, I definitely know what he felt like.
Yeah, like, it was crazy. He's like, I just feel so weird. Like, my balance is off. And he – so he had like shorts on, just comfy shorts, because he was lounging in the house, and he had to put pants on. It was November, it was cold, and he went to walk down the hallway, and I'm not even kidding, like, he literally walked with his left side of the body up against the wall all the way down the hallway to get his pants from his room. And I was like, holy cow, like, we need to go now, like, fast. Yeah. And we thought about calling an ambulance, but I think it would have taken longer because they would have had to drive from Dover to us and then back to Dover. So we were like, let's just go and we'll get him there as quickly as possible. So then after all of that happened, he ended up being transferred to the rehab floor at Eastern Maine, where he was there for about 6 weeks. Oh my God, I love that place. Yes. Yeah. And so, yeah, he was there for 6 weeks, and within the first, day of being there, he had occupational therapy, physical therapy, and speech therapy. PT and OT he had the whole time throughout, and speech he only had, I think, for the first week or so, because his mind wasn't impaired necessarily. Right. It was his physical impairments, yeah, that were the worst. So that's pretty much his story in a very short nutshell.
Oh, very. And power of prayer in Dover and Guilford, it's very strong, I know.
Yes, it is.
And news travels quick, so I'm sure he was in prayers more than a couple hours.
Oh, yes. Like, everyone knew, and the town was so amazing. They put on a benefit dinner for him after, and oh my, like, gosh. It was just amazing to me, the people that came out for that. It was pretty amazing. Yeah.
They have compassion.
Yes.
And Jeff, because your compassion and your compassion, I would love if you would go to Emily's Corner just as a therapist. If there's anybody there that might have questions, that is the only field that I don't know myself, because I got my right side after 9 years.
Wow.
Yeah, so your That's dad crazy. Has plenty of hope.
Yes, he does. And he still is doing therapy twice a week, and he's still making, you know, those small gains, and I really hope that he celebrates those, because it's a big deal when you make a small gain. It doesn't feel like much, I'm sure. I'm not in his shoes, but every little step is progress, and we have to think about it like that.
Yes, you are a smart, smart girl. Now, if you could tell our audience today three tips that they could implement home, what would you share?
Yeah, for sure. So I thought about this question a little before we came on air. There are so many things that you can do, and it's really hard because every stroke presents very differently, and everyone's recovery presents very differently. So I guess the biggest things that I would take away is make sure you give yourself enough time at home to complete things. It's going to be totally different than before your stroke. So try not to get frustrated, and I actually suggest making some sort of schedule or routine for yourself. Mm-hmm. Spread things out over your week instead of trying to cram everything into one day. And
see, that helps me.
Yeah, for sure.
My hands, so yeah.
Yeah, so I think it's really important to, you know, take time for yourself and find that new routine that works for you. And it's okay to try a few things, and if they don't work, then that's okay. Replan and try again. I think we use a lot in occupational therapy is energy conservation strategies, which are basically strategies that allow you to make the most out of what energy you do still have. So, for example, when I think of energy conservation, I think of vacuuming. So instead of walking back and forth in those little 10-foot strips, stand in one spot and vacuum all around you and then move again. And that way you're not exerting yourself too much and you can have more energy to do other things.
See, I needed your knowledge. I didn't know that stuff. Great.
No, for real though. I mean, it's really simple things and people don't think about it like that. But just, I think for as far as knowing my dad, I don't know how everyone else is, but with my dad, I think the biggest thing for him is he gets very tired so easily. And so doing small things like that, you know, giving yourself time to complete things, taking those small little breaks in between, would help him get through his day and get through what he feels he needs to do to complete like his household tasks. Another thing I was going to say too is don't be afraid to use any adaptive equipment. There are so many things out there for people. I really think anything you need is out there.
I mean, I have a little toddler crayons, you know, with my right hand, because I did that in the beginning with my left hand.
Right.
Like writing, because I had to write on a Magna Doodle for communication.
Oh,
I
wow. Couldn't
communicate at all.
Yeah, wow.
So it was hard. I was on the acute rehab for about 4 months, and wow. I remember Stacy coming into the room, and she said, "We know you have a lot of visitors and family, but is there anything that I can do for you?"
Yeah.
I looked at her, and I said, "I'm only 28 years old. I am used to having a routine start in the morning with a shower." And she thought that was kind of weird, but there was two CNAs that really wanted to give me a shower every day.
That's good.
Yeah, it was beautiful. It was really, really touching.
Yeah, and in occupational therapy, showering is definitely one of the main activities of daily living that we try to help people with too. So there's also, you know, the adaptive equipment and that aspect of things like your tub seat and grab bars and all
absolutely.
That. Yeah, that I would definitely recommend implementing in your home. It just makes it easier for you. And I can't say that I can understand where people would be coming from as far as, well, I really want to stand up in the shower. But if it's a safety hazard, make it easier for yourself and also make it safe for yourself. But
absolutely, Jess. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, but no, Eastern Maine was wonderful.
Information and your knowledge. You've taught me things today that I do with my right hand. So I really appreciate that.
Yeah, of course. Anytime.
And, like I said, you are more than happy to come to Emily's Corner. But I want to invite you all to Emily's Corner right on Facebook. It's green and purple. There's other Emily's Corners. And my website is www.strokeandtbiallies.com. com. We'll talk to you guys later and have a wonderful day.
Bye.